Acts 1, verse 8. Acts 1, 8. We're going to read the verse, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. My desire this evening, my prayer, is that the Lord speaks to you this evening, and that He ministers to you, and that you will get exactly, specifically, what He wants you to have this evening. Acts 1:8. The Bible says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be," let's say that word together, "witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here. Thank you so much for Faith Bible Baptist Church. Thank you for their faithfulness. Thank you for everyone that came this evening, Lord. Lord, they didn't come here to hear from a man. They didn't come here to hear a French accent. Lord, they truly came here to hear specifically from you, Lord. And I'm the weak link here. Lord, you say, without me, you can do nothing. And that is completely true, Lord. There is nothing I can do. There is nothing I can offer, Lord. Please, Lord, use this broken vessel. Father, I'm asking you, please, to speak through me and say what you once said and restrain my lips from saying something that you will not want to be said. Lord, please speak to your people. I pray that the saints will be edified. I pray that you'll be glorified and that your word will be magnified above your name. We give you all the praise and all the glory for it. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So here in Acts 1:8, those are the last words spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ before his ascension. And you will think that even the disciples, they've been spending all these times, they've been around the Lord Jesus Christ for 3 years, 3.5 years, and even though with all the training and all the time that they spend with him, with Jesus, you will think they got it all. Yet, the Bible says, look at the verse with me, "But ye shall receive" what? "Power." When? "After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." It's after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And let me tell you something. If this evening you are saved, you are born again, you have the Holy Spirit. You don't have part of it. You have the fullness of the Holy Ghost. And He wants to use you to be witnesses. And it starts where? We see in Jerusalem. Well, this is your Jerusalem. Right here where you are, in your city, this is your Jerusalem. And then he says, and in all Judea, a little further in your state, you will say in the state of New York, and a little further, and in Samaria, you will say your country, and unto the uttermost part of the earth, all the way to Reunion Island. Places, a place you've never heard before, and other places around the world that you've never heard before. And we see that this is the Holy Ghost. We see that it is the work of the Holy Spirit. Man can do so much, but what we truly need, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to walk in the Holy Spirit so that He can do through us and with us what He wants to be accomplished. And so here we see that there are a couple things we can do to facilitate the work of the Holy Spirit in us. And I have a 5-point message, and I'm aware of the time, but as the Lord leads, I think this will be very beneficial for each of us to hear what the Lord has to say regarding this matter. And so to facilitate the work of the Holy Spirit, number one, we need to know what to say. We need to know what to say. And we have to be very careful with that. What do I mean by that? We know there's the Romans Road, the John's Road, the Ezekiel Road, the Revelation Road, the New York's Road. And sometimes when we deal with people, when we deal with lost people, they might be stuck in a particular area and we need to ask questions so we can truly hear what's in their heart. We need to hear what's in there. And sometimes we cannot go A, B, C, D. No, we need to be able to, the Holy Spirit is going to bring to remembrance the scripture and how amazing it is sometimes. You don't even think you've memorized that scripture, but the Holy Spirit knows that. It comes back to your remembrance and you quote that verse of scripture and it's like, wow, I didn't even know I memorized that. But that's just what they needed. And so we need to pay close attention when we deal with people about the Lord. Because, as I said, they might be stuck in a very specific area. And out of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. But it is still good to have either a New Testament or... Yeah, I got one this evening. I mean, I love to, every church we go to, I grab some of those so then we can pass it out where we are so people can hear the gospel. So the first thing we need to know is the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 to 4. Well, turn there. We need to see what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4. But really verse 3 and 4, that's what we quote to people. For I deliver unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And praise the Lord for that, that is according to the scriptures. It is a fact. And I thank the Lord for that, that is recorded for us in the scripture, and we know that he was seen of Cephas and of the 12 and above 500 brethren. It is a fact. It is not something that, well, I feel like, or it is based on the word of God, on what the Bible says. And we need to point people out of not what we think, not what our preferences are, but what does the Bible says. So the first thing we know what to say is that it is, we need to know the gospel, which is what? The death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, 2/3 of the gospel is negative. The death, that's negative. Burial, that's negative. But he rose again the third day, and that's positive. And praise the Lord for that. And we need to show he or she, we need to show her that, or show him, that he or she is a sinner. Don't turn there. Romans 3:23, I'm sure most of you can quote it, for all have sinned, and most people know that, believe that, will acknowledge that. I actually never met a person saying, I'm not a sinner. I haven't met one. I know Pastor Welder has one time. But it's the second part of the verse. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You'll be shocked how many people in the United States of America for 2 years, when I was in Alabama, I've never heard the gospel. Not one person came to me and presented the gospel to me or gave me a gospel tract. 2 years. On Reunion Island, where we went to the markets, how many people were shocked when I quoted that verse of scripture, which is very familiar to most of you this evening, But so many people have not heard that they are short of the glory of God. They think that their good works will outweigh their bad works. And that's the concept they have in their mind. Yet the Bible says that they have come short of the glory of God. Now they need next to know that their sins must be paid for. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I'll turn there, Revelation 21:8. Revelation 21, chapter 21, verse 8. The Bible says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and most of the people say, well, I don't fit that. But look at the next one. And all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And you know how we know that everyone has lied. Well, the Bible says it here that all liars, but the Bible also says, let God be true, but every man a liar. And so they need to know that their sins must be paid for. But not only that he or she will be judged not according to their own righteousness, on their own righteousness, but the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Last verse of the chapter, the Bible says, for he has made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And you know how many people think that it is based on their own righteousness, and they do not understand that Jesus Christ was the substitute. They do not know that. They will be judged against the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 9:27 says, for it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. And you have really two options. Either you are saved and your judgment for sins it's already been done 2,000 years ago on Calvary. It was done. And so you won't have to face that judgment again. We know that we'll have to face the judgment seal of Christ. And that is terrifying. Because we are going to have to give an account to everything that was done after our salvation. But the people who are not saved, all around us, family members, co-workers, people, friends, people all around us that we meet at stores on a daily basis, restaurants, wherever we go to, their judgment, if they are lost, it's called the white throne judgment. And we don't want anyone to go through that judgment. We must remember that. And the next thing, not only that they have a substitute, praise the Lord for that, the Lord Jesus Christ, but that he or she can receive Jesus Christ by faith. Ephesians 2:8-9, chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And we can thank the Lord for that. Turn with me also to Romans 10. We were right there before. 10:9 and 10. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart. It's not just the head. It has to go down to the heart. and shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For me, that was October 21st, 2012. That's when I changed destiny 180 degrees. Went from hell to heaven. Went from being a child of the devil to a child of God. And the Lord wants everyone here in the state of New York, everywhere. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so I pray this evening that we don't let our hurt and preacher touch on that this morning, like Pharaoh gets harder and harder, and that we don't have, Jesus was moved with compassion. And we need to have that compassion with the people that we're around with on a daily basis. And you know, sadly, we can come here and praise the Lord for this church family. This is amazing. We go church to church, and the hardest part about deputation for us is we start feeling at home here with brothers and sisters in Christ, and we have to move on. That is the hardest part of deputation. But we can get so comfortable that we forget that there is a dying world out there, people without Jesus Christ, and we have him, and we have the Holy Ghost, and so, oh, okay. I punched my ticket to heaven. But God wants to use us, the Holy Spirit. We can facilitate the work of the Holy Spirit. It's his work. We don't save anybody. But we be used. We can be filled so that we can show someone else how they can have the gift of God and they can have eternal life. And God will not only... You know, we have this idea that we get eternal life and we'll get it when we die. We can start enjoying eternal life right now. We can start walking in the Spirit the moment we get saved. Just think about that for a second. We can start enjoying right now eternal life. We don't have to wait when we die. So that's the first thing. To facilitate the work of the Holy Spirit, we need to know what to say. The second thing, we need to deal with our fear. Who's fearful to go out and witness to people, and especially your family members? Okay, just one, two. Okay, well, you guys are bold. I mean, you're really, I commend you for that. I get nervous. Every time, especially with family members, the people you are the closest with, they are the hardest to witness to. And so we need to deal with our fear. We need to remember 2 Timothy 1:7, the Bible says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, we just saw that power in Acts 1:8, and of love. What are the fruits of the Spirit? That's the first on the list. By the way, it's singular, the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, generous, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and against such there is no law, Galatians 5, 22, 23. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Love. We love him because he first loved us. That is a love from God. We have that love. That is part of the fruit of the Spirit. So the Bible says that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The Bible says we have the mind of Christ. But we need to remember that we can be very fearful very quickly. And so we need to deal with that fear. Our enemy, the devil, he does not want, once you get saved, he can't touch your soul. He will do everything he can to destroy your testimony. And we know he's a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. And now you have that fear to witness to other people about the Lord Jesus Christ. But as you saw in Acts 1:8, it is a command from the Lord, to be witnesses. And we have to remember, he did not give us that fear. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6, verse 18 and 19. Ephesians 6, verses 18 and 19. The Bible says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, capital S, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth, how? Boldly, to make known the mystery of the gospel. What do you read in Ephesians chapter 6, the verses before? 10 through 17, the whole armor of God. And that is very, very important, that before we leave our house, that we put on the armor. And prayer is what keeps the armor all together, so as soldiers we are ready to go out and let the Holy Spirit lead us to whom he wants us to speak to. And how long he wants us to speak to. And what he wants us to say. Amen. We got to pull on that armor. We got to deal with our fear. And the next point, so know what to say. Deal with your fear. Pray for an opportunity. Colossians. Colossians. Chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. Colossians 4, verses 3 and 4. Colossians chapter 4. Verses 3 and 4. The Bible says, withal, praying also for us, that God will open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. It helps to pray for the Lord to open a door of utterance for you. And this is the perfect time to witness, because you will be ready. And so the person that you're going to witness to will be ready to hear what you have to say. Dr. Walter Wilson was one of the best at this. He traveled frequently, and after praying, we just saw that in Ephesians 6, 18 and 19, was presented with open doors of opportunities nearly every day. And this is our prayer, my wife and I. Every day we pray, wherever we go on this deputation trail, Lord, put someone, one person please, today that needs to hear the gospel. Use us, make us usable. And you know what the Lord does? He does it every time. If you truly ask him, you get on your face and you ask him, Lord, I just want the opportunity, not for vainglory. We want to say to preach the gospel to someone, to a lost person, send us to the right person. You'll be amazed. He answers that prayer. He uses a guy from Reunion Island, I don't even speak good English. And he will put the person that is almost, hey, this is a gospel track for you. This is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever read the Bible? And it's like that person, oh, wow, it's amazing. I was just thinking about going to church and I didn't find a good church. Well, here it is actually. That's a great church. It's a great pastor. Read it. You'll be amazed how the Lord does that. Every single day. Ask him. Have you prayed that? Have you asked him? Lord, make me usable. Every day. Every day. Today. It starts today. So not only we need to know what to say, we need to deal with our fear, we need to pray for an opportunity. Galatians 6:10. This is very important. Galatians chapter 6 verse 10. The Bible says, as we have therefore opportunity, Let us do good unto, what is the next word? All men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And I thank the Lord for this church and for the body of Christ. On deputation, we get to see the body of Christ everywhere in the United States of America, and it is really a blessing. And we ought to serve each other, pray for each other, and just some. And when you're saved, when you are in the local church, when you're serving, when you're faithful, the people in the local church are closer to you than some of your family members. But we have to remember to be friendly, not only to the people, to our sisters and brothers and sisters in Christ, but also to the lost world. Sometimes you'll be the only person they can have that will be friendly to them. Quick testimony. There was a man in Corpus Christi, lost. One actually of the judge in Corpus Christi. Very religious man. Long story short, the Holy Spirit nudged me, give him a gospel track. And I did. And he took it. And then we had lunch together. And where I was able to open the Bible, show him his need of salvation through the scripture. Well, he didn't get saved. And the Lord just was pressing upon my heart to do things for him. Bring a meal to his house. Hey, walk on his yard. Just keep loving him. I died for him. And we are on Reunion Island. That's really 2.5 years later of doing that. I mean, seeing him weekly, spending time weekly. And sometimes you think, well, Lord, he's still not saved. Just keep going. Just keep doing good. Just trust me. And I get a text from one of our friends who's saved. And he said, that man just got saved. And he said, it's all these things that made a difference. So what I'm saying is this, not to boast about what I did, is to tell you this. You don't know what God will do with just being friendly and doing something from the people around you who are lost. And it might take years. And you know what? You might go on the other side of glory, and when you're in heaven, they might get saved after that. I mean, you have testimonies of people praying for 40 years, and they pass away, and these people get saved at their funeral. So you just don't know. So be friendly to the lost. And last point, Romans 6:13, and I'll be done. Romans 6:13, and thank you. You've been very gracious this evening. Just want to be a help. The Bible says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Yield to the Spirit of God. And the old man is still very present. The old man wants to pop his head out every morning, trust me. And he wants to live that all life. But you have to remember Galatians 2:20. For I am crucified with Christ. He put him on the cross where he belongs. For I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live yet not I, but Christ, which liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live in the... Okay, let's go there. Galatians 2:20. The Bible says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Yield to the Spirit of God. It is the Spirit's work. It is the Holy Spirit's work after all, and we are just vessels through whom he can get his work done. We must yield to the Spirit so he can fill us, lead us, and schedule us. And I will finish with this. When you schedule something, an appointment, lost family member, lost friend, someone at work, when you schedule something, things get done. Schedule. Last scripture we're going to turn to, Acts 8:26. So here we know that Philip was used by the Lord to preach and to the Ethiopian eunuch, and that he got saved. And look what the Bible says. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goes down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And then we understand that the Ethiopian eunuch is reading in Isaiah and he can't understand it. And then Philip show him how to be saved. He gets saved and he gets baptized. So here, to facilitate the work of the Holy Spirit, we must remember we need to know what to say. We need to deal with our fear. We need to pray for an opportunity. We need to be friendly to the lost. And we need to yield to the Spirit of God. Amen. Amen.